of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and we are recording March 26th, Tuesday evening, fairly impromptu because I have a six-week-old, but it's a few days removed from a gut punch of a loss down in San Jose, and your Alliance Council president, Guerrilla FC president, and the communications director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins, was there, and he's here. What's up, Cameron?
I am here. Before we get into this, and have fun talking Sounders and stuff, or not fun, however we want to do it, let's acknowledge that we are talking on a day of pretty big disaster in American history with the Baltimore Bridge collapsing, while cars driving on it after a boat lost power and hit it, and people died. So it's not fun day, but, just wanted to acknowledge those, everyone who's hurt by it and affected by it, and hope not too many people passed away.
I agree. Yeah, pretty terrible. And I like often living like in Greenwood, my commute was the 99 bridge. Was that Ship Canal Bridge?
Yeah,
that I've always like I get heebie-jeebies with bridges. Knowing
how many bridges there are and how many don't actually get,
and I'm sure those ones are at least fairly looked after, but you never know. It was West Seattle, right?
Our infrastructure, yeah, a lot of American cities, they are not.
Yeah, so. I know. There's I have family in Minnesota, so there was, what, like 10 or 15 years ago when that bridge collapsed?
Yeah, anyways, yeah.
Those are structural problems. This was a boat, a ship fucking running into it, and it went down in seconds. Pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it was scary. The video is I don't mean this in like a cool way. It was awesome in a like, holy cow.
Yeah, jaw on the floor.
Yeah, the whole thing just so
pretty terrible.
Yeah, but yeah, let's talk Sounders. And
on a whatnot. Good note, first, yeah. Oddly enough, talking about the Sounders compared to that is a good note. Yeah. But holy shit, rough weekend. And I have a beer, Cameron.
Yeah, open your beer.
Yeah, it is my trusty, tried and true Elysian Space Dust. Elysian. Ooh. Elysian Space Dust. Is your can alcohol that I see there?
No, it's not. It is seltzer water from Signature Select. That's Safeway style.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's good.
Can seltzers get any lower?
No problem. Maybe Walgreens brand. That's like when they had that. There was Walgreens brand beer for a while. It was like so cheap. It was awful. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't branded Walgreens. They were the distributors of it, though. It had some like Fisher's Friend or something. Yeah. I also have a Oasis, what do you call this? Like
Wonderwall?
Slush. Yeah. Yeah. You know, called up Noel and had him bring me over
a Gallagher slush, smoothie.
So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get to some scuttlebutt and then get to, you know, that loss. Obviously, it's going to be like pulling teeth to talk about it, but I guess. But it gives us some talking points, right?
Yeah. You know, I have some good thoughts and I'm over the initial shock of what happened that I think I have some decent takeaways. I think there's other news that's far worse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, do you want to start with your trip down there with Heritage Cup?
Yeah, I brought the Heritage Cup down to present it to San Jose. And I've got to say, props to the San Jose Earthquakes who took it very seriously, went all in on it. You know, I arrived down there I had picked it up from the Sounders, and it's in this giant box, right? So I had to carry on. I had to carry on all my stuff and check it, and it weighed exactly 50 pounds, so I didn't have to pay extra. So that was, if it had been one ounce
heavier, you can't unpack that of money. Well, side note, when they tell you to take it out, I'm sure an engineer or something, I live in Everett, maybe I know there's other Everett listeners would know why, but when you unpack your checked bag to put stuff into your carry-on bag, it's the same weight on the plane.
Yeah, that's true.
It's got to be maybe a weight distribution, but the weight of luggage is underneath the wing.
It does matter, but a couple ounces should.
But they can't. they don't know where I'm going to sit versus my bag, so that weight being separate or whatever. Go ahead.
No, I've been on planes where they told me, they actually moved me to the other side of the plane because, you know, big boy here. Gonna take up too much weight on one side, or the plane might fall over on the other side.
I'm not allowed to laugh but at no. that, Cameron. It's 2024.
I mean, that's a true story as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get down there and get picked up by Ned Zuparco, who's part of the Silicon Valley soccer group, who originally founded the Heritage Cup, and he's part of the group now that's going to be moving forward with it, which is Fault Line from San Jose, me and people from that group. Me meaning Gorilla FC in this instance, because I wear so many different hats, you never know which one I have on. Went to the Earthquakes, and they immediately did an interview with me. I don't know if you got to see it, but it was pretty cool. I posted it there in the Discord for our listeners, but they did an interview with Ned and I and talked about the history of the Heritage Cup and kind of hyped it up a bit. And then right before the game, went on the field. The three of us plus a Earthquakes legend from the 70s. His last name was Dangerfield. I don't recall his first name. It wasn't Rodney, but I'll assume that he was his brother. And he just went by Danger. Everyone called him Danger.
I was going to say, you don't need to know his first name.
No, he just went by Danger.
Danger.
And so, And so he was nice, and everyone was so nice. And I guess he knew Preki. So he's out talking to Preki and Brian and other people. And I got to hand the trophy over to the Earthquakes and to Crystal from the Fault Line on the field before the game in front of everyone. It was funny when I did and she held it up in the air, I pretended to cry for a few seconds because we lost it. And then it looked like we were going to not have a chance to win it again, but we'll get to it more later where actually I think we have a decent chance to win it if we do what we need to do in our game here.
Our game here, the game that just happened?
No. Heritage Cup is home and away this year, right? And so when San Jose plays up here,
okay.
The result will determine who wins.
I thought you meant coming up here. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, we're
not playing them. Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe.
Yeah. We can talk more about it when we get to the result of the game. But overall, good trip. Shout out to San Jose Earthquakes. I met their president. Last year they have like a cool little filming area inside the stadium because they're outside their offices because it's right at the stadium. And last year, whenever they would do like a pre-show, they would have like graffiti art on a skateboard of the teams. And so they gave me the Sounders one since they're not using them this year. So I got a skateboard without the wheels on it yet, but Sounders says Sounders FC skateboard that was hand graffitied. It was pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah. Right now.
I think it's upstairs in my luggage still.
Yeah. Go find it later. Share it on the Discord that you mentioned. Link in the show description, folks.
Heck yeah. So yeah, good trip. Maybe not the best result, but some good stuff to talk about. But we'll get to that after we get to our scuttlebutt here from at least one of our listeners.
Yeah. Muffin top model. Okay, what does LAFC have that we don't? Why must our FO be so dang fiscally responsible? The FO often says money is no object, but in my best Maury Povich voice, that is a lie. With Adrian Hanauer, being on the competition committee, is there a chance that he himself is holding us back? Sure, we have a fancy training facility, but it's not winning us games or scoring us goals. Renton is cursed, like many haunted pet cemetery. Scene.
Oh... Muffin top model, bringing it as always.
There's a lot there.
Do they say money is no object? I don't think they've ever said that about signing players.
Not that I mean, maybe more in action than words. I mean, it's
I think they've definitely said money.
Spend money.
Money is no object in terms of. I have heard them say that, but usually it's in terms of like. They're not going to pay for something that the team needs, you know, like, or like when we put the. They put the banners up for the championship for the previous ones. Like they were going to make that happen. But we have not heard our current GM talk about this, but it's the same ownership group. So we have heard our previous GM Garth talk about how basically we have to spend our money wisely. We are not LAFC. We are not New York. We are not Atlanta. We don't have all the money in the world. And so we can't just go out and sign whoever we want. Painful on a day like today, where reports, they've been circling, but now it seems like maybe it's being finalized that Olivier Giroud's going to LAFC in 2025.
Annoying.
No fun.
Although he's been nice. He's got an LAFC like face.
True. He probably fits with LAFC.
I can't picture him on another team other than. No,
I think
he's LAFC. That's his face.
I mean, I love him as a France fan. I wish he were coming here. He had that little fun thing with Julio. He wears a Julio Rodriguez jersey.
I saw you post something.
Yeah, so I tweeted at Julio saying, "Get your buddy to come play for us." But I don't think it's about money. It's about injuries right now. And I don't know what the answer is to that. We've had more injuries this year than we've ever had. We had one other year that was like this. And it wasn't the year we didn't make the playoffs, surprisingly. We actually did make the playoffs that year. So the number one factor on whether you win games is how injured you are. That's what the math says. So you got to have players that stay healthy, and we're not there. I mean, I think we're seeing a changing in the guard in terms of who should be at what position, I think. We saw Raul Ruiz Diaz with a excellent day, but some great crosses, no one to hit the ball in.
Mm-hmm.
I think we also saw we were missing Leo Chu, and unfortunately the news came out today, he has a tear and he's out 3 to 5 weeks. So not the best news coming out of Sounders camp. I think,
man,
we can bring up the whole
not gonna lie, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, there's the news came out today at the Schmetzer via Jackson Feltz at Jackson on the radio, of course, the host of the Sounders Weekly and the pre and post game show. Leo Chu's knee injury is a tear and he's going to be out 3 to 5 weeks. Obed is in the concussion protocol. No timetable for JP's return. And Rusnak will be back starting this in the lineup this week in LA. So those are injury updates.
Hmm.
So losing Leo is rough, but I think maybe it solves the biggest problem we have right now. We can get to that though. That's more of a game question.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's my answer. Is it doesn't have to do with money at this point. I think they were giving Raul another chance to be healthy,
mm-hmm.
because it's that he was unhealthy was why he was not healthy, was why he was not playing much. And we're seeing when he's healthy, he still can contribute to the team. At this point, I would want him back on a TAM contract for next year, at least. So
Raul?
What are your thoughts?
Raul is what you're saying? TAM?
I'm talking about Raul, yeah.
You think he'd be that cheap?
Well, I mean, I would like, we need to bring in another DP.
I know. I totally get that.
Young,
I'm just
young guy. Yeah.
Okay.
I
still think he would hold a DP value, just not with us.
Oh, you might pay him that
much. I think another club would pay him DP value money.
But you can pay him down with TAM money is what I'm saying.
Isn't his contract up though after this year?
Yeah. So I would hope that he would sign a contract that would be a DP contract that would be low enough that we could pay it down.
Oh, okay. You're playing chess. Okay. Anyway, mm-hmm. digress.
But what do you think about Muffin Top Model's question there?
Yeah. I mean, they have quality players, but they've gone through a lot of different quality players. So I do think for them, I think a lot of it is money. I don't, and for us, it's money, but I don't think, we don't want to spend money. I think we just spend it, you know, wisely, and we just don't have the coffers to go sign someone that's $20 million. But that being said, I am annoyed by, like, the... We did get Dempsey on kind of like a was that legal kind of vibe, right? But I am annoyed that other clubs are doing that a lot, right? I mean, Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
That was weird.
I mean, but those are, I mean, they changed the rules for us to get Dempsey because Dempsey didn't want to go to Portland, which is where he would have had to go.
I love that, by the way. I love that. It's, yeah. It's actually, it's especially, not just like he didn't go. It's like he did not want to go.
Which, especially when we won the championship and he said, and now Portland can't say shit.
Well, you haven't listened to the intro in a long time, have you, Cameron? It's in there.
Yeah. I listen to it every week. Every week, because I listen to our show, just like I don't remember what we talked about. I don't think LAFC is the team to emulate, though, either. LAFC is in sixth place. They had a great game this past week. They have two wins. They had a rough start to the season. They also have two losses. And, you know, it's early, of course. But I don't think that... I mean, Minnesota's in first. They didn't even have a coach for the first few games. LA Galaxy are in second.
Yeah.
Vancouver losing dropped them down to third. And Portland's in fourth.
Yeah.
It is early, but LAFC over the last few years have been the team.
And I think maybe he's comparing LAFC because they've gone through, in their relatively short, you know, period, like two peaks in a way, I feel like. And they didn't drop too much in the middle. And we're kind of, I feel like, in that vibe right now. Like, we should be already on the up. Right. We got back to the playoffs. Right, missing the play.
We don't have the players. That's the problem.
I understand that. I'm just saying, just holistically, yeah. You look at LAFC and that they're staying competitive, and we finished second if we make it the playoffs.
We were the team they picked to win the Supporter Shield. I think universally, every single pundit at you know ESPN, Fox Sports, MLS Soccer picked us to be one or two. Most of them picked us to win the Shield. I think we're still that team. Not having De La Vega.
That's true.
Huge loss. And not having JP.
Maybe bigger loss. Yeah. Well, we're already talking about it. Should we just go take a short break and go right to talking about the match and Sounders in general, right? Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, so that's our fight song. We had fight for a moment in that match. We went down 2-0. And actually, in the Discord during the match, I check and shout out to Muffin Top Model again. But he actually was, I think it was in the Discord, mentioned the 5-minute rule. That's kind of like a general rule of soccer. Like goals are given up substantially more in the last 5 minutes, 5 minutes after a goal, and 5 minutes after a half starts.
Brian Schmetzer's teams do that consistently, and I don't understand it. That's my biggest frustration with the coaching, is that how is there always a letdown near the end of the half / end of the game or afterwards? This is not unique to the last game. This happens a lot. Mm-hmm. This has happened, what, once or twice already this season, or right before the half, we just gave up a goal?
Yeah.
So, and we gave up two.
We gave up three. one in the last five minutes, back. One shortly after, and then one after we scored.
Yeah. Oh, but didn't we give up another one that was called back? No, I guess they ended up giving the goal.
No, they gave, yeah. They called it back live and went back in VAR, and it was good. And I was down.
I had left and was watching that on the big screen right down below at the food trucks because I was getting lunch or dinner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a fairly entertaining match. It just, especially, I mean, look at our first run of play goal was in this match. We had Raul with a second Panenka. And our first run of play goal was from Cody Baker to Mazowski. which, you know, you have that on your bingo card.
He looked great in that position. That I think is the big thing though for me is we didn't, to echo our friend Jackson on the post game show, it didn't seem like there was much fight in our team. They were just going through the motions. And I don't know if that's because their people are injured. I don't know what it's about, but yeah. I also was frustrated because Andrew Thomas, I know it's Fry's job, but Andrew Thomas had played so well. And then immediately Fry gives up just an absolutely horrendous first goal. And then I think he should, I mean, the second one was a little bit wonky and weird, but still he should have saved both of those. Andrew Thomas absolutely would have saved both of those. So it was very frustrating for me that we bring Fry back. And I've got to assume it's his reaction time isn't what it usually is because he hasn't had live play. But why don't we do what they do in baseball and throw him down in AAA? Go make him play for Tacoma Defiance for a little bit and then get that game time so he's up and ready to go and then bring him back because clearly he was not a bad idea.
Because, I mean, the only live play time you're going to get is if you start when you're a keeper. So you can't get subbed in to test the waters. So.
That had to be it because he's not, those were not goals he usually would have allowed in.
Yeah. And I mean, you can't say definitively that Andrew Thomas would have had both of those because
that's true.
Right. It's,
he would have had the first one though.
Yeah.
I was mad,
but yeah,
it was a rough showing.
I don't think he had the worst performance on the field though. I think Jackson Reagan needs to. He's shown more than once that he goes to ground, and it's a long way to ground for him. He's a tall guy, and sometimes he does it.
If you're going to ground, you have to get the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right around there.
And, yeah, it just, and Reagan's great, but clearly there's been a few games where he's been off.
Mm-hmm.
Nuhu has had the same, but he was fine. I mean,
Nuhu's generally fine, in my opinion. I think he just has his like prima donna moments, right? And
he's had a few games where I guess two of the four where I felt like he's made stupid mistakes. Like he'll cross it into the center of the field in front of the goal or something like
but
that.
But that's what I mean. That comes with the what are you doing? That comes with the territory.
Yeah.
I think we
don't get burnt.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
But yeah. But Danny Leyva, fantastic.
Dude, he had some moments.
We saw this last year when he came, did he come back at the end of the last year? Or no, I guess it was right before he left and got loaned to Colorado.
Yeah, I think that's it.
We saw some moments where he had some crosses that were just incredible. Not crosses, but passes, through balls that were at an angle. That would open up the field and open up players. And we saw that again. I don't think he commands the presence of a JP, like defensively, like we've talked about between Obed and, why am I blanking on, our other center defensive mid, Tencio. I called him Acosta at the game on accident. Mm. So, clearly Josh is not in my brain, as a player, if he had another player back there, I think Danny's showing why he was the guy we thought was going to be the second player at center defensive mid.
Yeah, he was kind of like the first of the midfield youth.
Yeah, he was the guy. And then Obed came along and blew our minds out. And then Josh came in when Obed was hurt and really won that job from Danny and forced Danny to have to get loaned away. And now we're seeing why Danny was that person.
Mm-hmm.
All of that being said, we didn't see a lot from Christian. We didn't see a lot from Jordan. And I think, I hate to say this because I was an advocate for it, but I think Jordan at the nine experiment probably needs to stop.
Yeah.
Especially with the injury to Leochu.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be very upset if I see him up top. I think Raul had a great game. I think Raul is, even though in the beginning of the season when we were talking, like I was concerned about him. You know, super sub.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we were so confident in this depth. Now, granted, we started the season not just with a few like chips on the roster, we had like a full, we got blasted by a cannonball hole in our hole to start the season. We're taking on water immediately before the season even starts with Russ Knack, just like the practice before the match. So, and then De La Vega going down after not starting full 90, right? So I think that is still a major factor as to why we're at where we're at. And I'm not too worried because I kind of relate to, we haven't had experience in the midfield this entire start to the season. Experience in the midfield's the most important part of the field, right? You play offense, you play defense, you unlock things, you intercept things. You have to be able to have a third eye to where people are, where your team, where your other teammates are, where the defense is. And Russ Knack is the closest thing we have available to us this next game to that ilk, right? He's got the experience. You see how he turns on the ball. You see what balls he can put on. He'll make a mistake or two because I think he, in a kind of a Clint Dempsey less flair way, but he tries shit when it comes to passing. And I'm really hoping that that's kind of the solution we get moving forward in this next match because he's available. But we haven't had experience in our midfield all season. And that's been lacking. We've had effort. We've had moments with these kids. And that's because they're freaking kids. They're 23, 24 years old now, which is weird. But Danny Leyva, Atencio, they have their moments. They're all effort in the midfield. Those young guys are. But I think what Jordan and Christian are feeling a little bit is I've played pickup basketball with people on my team that are just like, you shouldn't be playing it like at this time. You should come later. Like we're a little bit better and you're a liability. You play hard, but you're making dumb.
They're not playing hard.
Well, no. Listen, they're looking at the midfield and be like, this isn't going to get us forward. And I'm relating that to my experience with just like lesser players that are playing pickup basketball.
Did you just kind However, of go through I the motions, a professional or did you step up? Yeah, did you go through the motions,
no,
or did you step
because I was playing pickup
basketball.
They are professional athletes. They have signed huge contracts, and they need to be able to step it up. And I agree with Jackson.
I mean, Jordan,
and I agree with you.
I hate to say it. Jordan's been atrocious up top.
Yeah. And here's the opportunity. And here's the opportunity to prove that, you know, maybe that's not your position, but you have a position in that locker room, and this is probably your best actual position, left wing. To produce
we're gonna see a relatively strong midfield now with Jordan on the left, Russ Knack center attacking mid, Christian at the right, and then I'm guessing next match at least it'll be Danny and Josh at center defensive mid.
Yeah, and let's harken back to our last recording. Josh Atencio's second yellow turned red, was annoying, but I wasn't too upset about it. More of just like, come on, Josh, kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But to have Obed go down before the game started with the concussion, he must have gotten it during training, I guess, right? Or was it just something diagnosed after the match?
Good
I
question.
Either. But that obviously exacerbated the red card. Because we talked about, we were even on the Designated Players podcast, so excited about our depth. But all of our depth has been put
on.
It's gone. It's not gone. Yep. The top layer of the cake's gone. We've had to use all of our depth.
The depth is starting.
Which
now.
Is the surface. The depth is the surface.
So here's the thing, though. We saw Cody Baker come on. We saw Danny, say his last name.
Leyva. Oh, Mazowski.
No, other
Mazowski.
Danny. Mazowski. Come on. And we saw our first goal from the run of play. Those dudes were out there being like, no, we're not going to lose this game.
Mazowski?
We're going to come
Mazowski
back.
Was it that had some stepovers in the attacking middle of the field?
I believe
and he
so.
He got like a left-footed shot off. I was like, hello.
I was watching. Why? He did. I was watching from the far opposite side of the field, though, at that point. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
So I was watching in 8K or whatever my eyes are, 2K probably at this point. And we looked so much better. We had better ball movement. And that second goal was coming. And when it did, it was like amazing. That was the 81st minute, I want to say. And it was like, okay, whatever was said at halftime made a difference. The subs we had, the players we had come on were hungry.
Yes.
They made the difference. And then And it had to be a Bobasi, of course, who I love.
Yeah, we've comes said down positive and things scores. That bastard.
Comes down and scores that goal immediately after, and we just let it happen. And here's the thing is, while that is so frustrating to me, in the moment I was, I won't say angry. I was angry, but it wasn't like, I was with my friend Tyler, who, mm-hmm. you know, I get to see once a year and once every other year. And so I was enjoying my friend's company more than anything. But it was, the fact that they had the fight to come back to me actually meant something. And it also kept us in the Heritage Cup race because now, you know, 2-2 obviously would be better. But now we have two away goals. So all we need to do is win 1-0 or 2-1 or more in the home match in September. And then we win the Heritage Cup.
Yeah.
So at least we didn't get the points, at least there's a little silver lining.
At least you're excited about that, Cameron. I don't know. Oh, you're trying excited, your best. Man. You're trying your best.
No, the Heritage Cup is going to be a big thing. Trust me. Like, we're going to be building a whole educational program around the history of the NASL.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
NASL players. Like, there's a lot coming. We're going to form a nonprofit.
I'm sorry.
This is just the first step. This is just the first step, man.
I feel like I made fun of someone. They're like, oh, actually, it's because I have a disability. I'm like, you're gonna form a nonprofit. Fuck. All right.
But more than anything, I think that slip up, that like you just let them come down and score aside. They fought back to get into it, and sure was the penalty a little soft. Yes, but yeah. You're gonna call it in that position. Huge mistake from San Jose because he was facing away from the goal at the time. Like, you cannot be taking people down as they're facing away from the goal. There was no chance that he was gonna score. So
totally.
I'm proud that they came back. I'm angry that they gave up that last goal, but they had some fight in them finally in that game, and I feel like we haven't seen a lot of fight this whole season. Mm-hmm. And it took some younger players or some newer players to come in and show that fight. And so could we be reeling from the loss of Nico as a leader?
No, it's JP. It's JP. Well, actually.
No, I don't mean on the field. I just mean like in the locker. What's going on in the locker room? Why are players coming out without a fight?
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair assessment. I mean, I wouldn't put it past. I mean, Stephen Fry is pretty.
That's true.
I have pretty full confidence that things are fine. I think it's overwhelming. I think the hole in the hole is overwhelming. I'd like to see a couple weeks with some of our best 11 vets of the last couple seasons to be on the field at the same time to help things connect. Yeah. I think it's just for certain players like Jordan and Christian who are expecting balls in certain areas and not getting them, or at certain times once we force a turnover. There's just no connection in the midfield, and that's been churning, right? With Atencio.
Sure, sure. But you had Raul giving that. You had Raul going in there and giving some amazing crosses, or you did have Christian come down with a chance, but there was no one for him to pass to on another amazing run. Like,
I'm saying the quality is few and far between when the midfield is a bunch of inexperienced youth that have a lot of good moments. They're just not mm-hmm. connecting. You need, soccer's not an individual sport. You need.
No, but we need Jordan to show up more than he has.
And then there's a whole, okay. Yeah. I'm trying to be a little bit of devil's advocate. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're playing LA Galaxy, the other LA. This weekend, they have not lost. They have 3 draws, 2 wins. They scored, I think, 14 goals. A little worrisome. We've scored 4. Only 1 in the run of play. And it's not looking like our roster availability is going to be too much better, except we'll get Rusnak full match. Well, at least starting, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they said it'd be in the starting 11.
Now, they have given up 9 goals. LA. So they're giving up basically 2 goals a match.
But they also are in, are they in first place now?
Second.
They're in
Minnesota.
Second place. So yeah, they've scored 12, given up 9. The goal differential plus 3 compared to our negative 2.
So they're going to allow us to score what we need to do is not allow them to score more than 2 goals. Yeah. I think it's
going to. And they haven't lost a game yet. They have 2 wins and 3 draws, but they have a.
I just said that. Were you listening?
Yeah, I know. But I was going to say, but the player that they brought in is the reason for that, is what I was going to say. The I'm blanking. Jovovich? I forget his name.
Yolovich? What?
I can't say his name, but. And Ricky
Puig.
They were saying Puig online, which is Dejan Jovelic.
Jovelic.
Forward has been great. And then Ricky Puig. Those two together have just been, you've seen them make the Galaxy into a team that can actually win games, unlike in the past. And then they have some retreads like Diego Fagundes, who, when he was what, like 16 or 17, was the next great hope for young great player in the MLS.
Rufio,
and then
right?
We saw kind of drop off. Rufio? You think he looks like Fagundes? Rufio?
Well, used to in his youth, because now Fagundes is 32,
I can
33,
see
right?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean he can see that? He was like a spitting image.
Yeah, I never thought about it at the time. But yeah, he's 29 now. But, you know,
he was
playing.
29. I thought he was our age.
Well, but when you come into the league at like 15...
Yeah.
You know, he's been around a long time. So we've got to play a solid game because they do give up goals. They don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to watch Jovovich. And it's sad that I can't pronounce his name. You know, he's 24. He's from Serbia. Just came over. You saw like in their first win, he was the difference in that game. He was the guy that made them go from looking like they weren't going to win to really turning that one around. And he's been around too. You know, they got him from Frankfurt. And then he came up through that system. He was in Anderlecht for a while. He went back to Frankfurt and then went to Wolfsburger and then back to Frankfurt. He was a Red Star youth. So he's been all over. Playing for Red Star Belgrade is pretty cool, though. I gotta say, they have some cool rivalries.
Thanks for getting excited for the match, man.
No, I mean he's a great player. We've got to be ready. Yeah. We can't have the mistakes that we're seeing from our defense. He's forward.
He's forward.
So we can't have the mistakes we've seen from our defense. We know they're going to score their goals, and so we need our defense to be the team that they were last year. Pete Fewing pointed out an interesting point in the post-game show, that the three goals we gave up last year was just under 10. I mean, this year, just under 10% of our total goals from last year.
32 goals
one
last
game.
Year we gave up. Yeah, I heard that too. Well, I mean, I think I think that stems from the midfield. I think there's been added pressure to the back line, and they're going to have more moments. It's easy to look bad on defense. It's really easy.
Yeah.
Once you make one bad step, they're behind you. If you're in the midfield, you make a bad step, they get behind you. They're between you and the defense. So they're the last line of defense. So I'm excited that it's going to be Reagan, Andrade, and our new
Yamar. Yamar
and
being back is going to be the big deal.
With Fry. I think another match with the familiar back four with Fry, I think, makes me feel better. And having Rusnak available, I want Christian in the midfield with him. I want put Cody Baker on the right wing. That cross was fantastic.
Yeah,
Jordan on the left.
I mean,
Raul up front.
You want Cody Baker starting?
Why not?
Interesting.
Why the fuck not? Well,
no,
gonna put youth or I'm thinking of a 4-4-2, a standard 4-4-2 with Christian and Rusnak in the middle. On the left, Jordan. On the right, Cody Baker. And put Musovski up with Raul. Hell, the only run of play, the only players in the
so
run
you
of play
one
goal.
So center defensive mid then?
I said 4-4-2. Shut up, Alexa.
Alexa, stop, please.
Yeah. But you get what I'm saying? Our standard back line, four across. Then you have Jordan on the left, Rusnak, Christian, Cody Baker, Mozovsky, and Raul. A little pivot action at the top. You know, Rusnak plays a little more forward. We did a little pivot action with Christian. They all
Where's their winner center defensive mids, though? That's the things. We only have one center defensive mid, then.
4-4-2.
Mm-hmm. You've named four at the back. You've named four in the midfield and you need two up front, and you haven't even mentioned a center defensive mid.
Why would I add an extra player?
We've always had that's what I'm saying. We've been playing with two though.
So I guess I'm telling you, I just want them four across the midfield on a pivot action. No, we don't need a center defensive mid. We haven't won a game yet.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, we're always going to have at least one, probably two, because Brian doesn't play without a center defensive mid.
Well, I didn't say I'm Brian. I said what I want.
I know. Okay. But that's a big change. That's what I'm saying.
We haven't won a game yet. We have one run of play goal. I want the both players that have that run of play goal on the field.
Okay.
Give them a shot. The kids are getting red carded. Danny Leyva has an argument, though. I would like to see him get minutes. But we know the midfield's not going to be more experienced than Rusnak. But we also know Josh will
be back.
Yeah. I haven't been impressed.
Okay. Interesting.
Those two yellows, that second yellow pissed me off. Was it the second that pissed me off or the reason he got the first and then he got a legit yellow? I forget. Either way.
Maybe both.
Either way.
But I mean, that's interesting. I think I would go with a more, lineup that we know and keep it the same and just go back to the one forward and see what we can do when you've got Jordan on the wing and have, Danny and Josh at the center defensive mid positions. One forward. So yeah, that's what I would do. I think I'd go back to our traditional 4-2-3-1. However you want to say 4-4-5-1 or 4-1-4-2-3-1. Yeah. However you want to word that 4-2-2-1-1.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
If I had my way, I would do 3 only at the back. That's how I run it in FIFA. Can we get clearance for that?
I'm sure that won't get caught by any bots or whatever. Was that Bon Jovi we heard on that podcast? Flag.
Yeah, special guest Bon Jovi. So it'll be interesting to see. I think you're right, though. We need a strong midfield, and we haven't gotten that, and we're especially going to need it with what the players that LA will have on the field.
Yeah.
With Ricky Pouge and some of these other players. I mean, LA has been known to get a red card, though. They have two already this year, although was the first one might have been, no, it was in MLS. I wasn't sure if it was MLS or if it was in, it was their first game of the season, so actually. It was when Messi tied it late.
It could get spicy. It can get picante. Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, they had won against Inter Miami. They'd won against St. Louis. And then, of course, they scored 3 goals last match. So
this is the moment. This is the match. We put it all together. We're going to be like the Lakers. We're going to pull it together at the end. If you watched that game today, it was effing nuts, and it was super fun, and LeBron wasn't available. Hello. So
we're still playing basketball in the playoffs yet? Anyway, here's the thing. Do these early games matter? Do they affect us at the end of the season? Yes. I'm not at the point now where I'm, I tweeted out at the time, fire them all, except for our new signing, who's hurt, De La Vega and Ruiz. Just get rid of every single one of them. We don't need them. Get new players. But ultimately, I'm not that worried for the long term of the season. I'm mainly annoyed because I think we're playing ourselves out of being a chance to win the Shield.
Yeah.
That's frustrating to me. I want to win the Shield, especially because I would get to have it at my house. It would be sitting here on the podcast with us. But I don't think we've hurt ourselves in terms of trying to win an MLS Cup.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think we shot ourselves in the foot yet. I do think we've rolled our ankle before we started the race.
Yep.
Right. But rolled ankles, you'll get over it. We'll catch up, literally, on the table.
Took you a while, though.
Oh, you're talking about public?
Yeah, Pub League. Yeah, that was
like 2 years ago. You're not even in it. But it's been like 2 years. You're like, yeah, I'll do it.
Because you play on Sundays when Superhawks have games. I can't play when I have to work.
Oh, that excuse. Okay, there's just things going on. All right, whatever. So let's wrap it up. What do you think is going to happen this weekend?
They have scored 2 to 3 goals in all of their games except for the first two. So I think it's going to be another 3-2 Sounders loss. Hmm.
I can't argue that. I think it will be. I think it'll be that. I think it'll be exactly 3-2. I do think
it goal from the run of play. Though.
I do think the match will feel a little. I think we'll come away still feeling positive about it. We'll see a good performance from the team. I hope I don't see this 5-minute rule violation that we just saw, because that's what I think is a gut punch from this last match. One who we were playing, they should not. They haven't won a game, and even though we were coming in there limping, we should have come out there with at least a point.
Even the way things came to play,
like we had a draw in our hands and immediately gave it up. So that's what's frustrating. We're playing.
They've been terrible this year.
Yeah, and we're playing a quality team this week away. Mm-hmm. Right, it's an away match, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So if we don't give an effort, if we don't give an effort, I'll be angry.
I think
but
that's,
if we show up. And give
that's
an effort,
the match we're watching. Effort, yep. Please. Let's see. Yep. Let's give us something to be proud of. If we lose, I'm all right with it. We need our players back. They're not available. And hey, it's one loss out of what 3 weeks ago we said. Let's just not lose too many matches through this injury stretch. All right, let's draw. Let's win. That's what I'm hoping for. I think we'll probably lose, though. I agree with you. 3-2. Agreement on that.
I hope for a win. Maybe we'll pull out a draw. I'm gonna open up my final water for this final section here.
You're not driving, are you?
Where can they find you on the internet?
On X at @AaronLingley. That's Aaron Lingley. Where can they find you?
You can find me at Legal Minded Punk wherever you are on the internet. And also, be sure to donate to the GoFundMe to help Aaron get more sleep. Yes, we're starting a GoFundMe to hire a full-time nanny for Aaron. We aren't actually, but maybe we should.
I mean, if you jump on the Discord and say, hey, I'll start it if you're willing to accept the donations. Hell yeah.
And of course, join the Discord. It's where the discussion happens. It's good times. So
it's more fun when we're winning.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes it's good to commiserate together in a loss.
Yeah, and with, you know, Muffin Top Model always has some good bombs to drop on us.
something that'll make you laugh. Whether or not he's angry or happy, it'll make you laugh.
For sure.
James? Maybe a voice that always makes me feel happy. Let's have James take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally the best MLS team of all time.